Good morning.
So it looks like our children knows the lesson of the story much better than I thought about. So this week is a joy. So we lit three candles, and one of them, the last one, stands for joy. And I've been reflecting upon what joy really is. And as all of us here are now not in our teens or 20s, exception of probably two, we have lived a life quite a while. And in that, we have these moments that you might have felt joyful, or what made you to be joyful. So my suggestion today for you is kind of have a little time travel with me in that context. So you think about your childhood too, and your young life, and what made you to be joyful, what made you to be fulfilling. And I'd like to share three or four stories about mine and what I found out. So first time I felt really joyful was about food. And I was growing up in a small little village and shared with you a few times, but my grandmother was in the situation very sad, so she only ate one meal a day. And I was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and I was hungry all the time. So I would find and eat anything that I could eat. And one day, I thought to myself, Grandma's not going to cook me any bigger meal. Why don't I catch something? But I'm not a hunter. I actually tried it. I chased after rabbit once and, yeah, failed miserably. This guy totally fooled me, you know, all over. But in the autumn season, we had this nice stream going, and it was from water reservoir to kind of feed to the rice field. So when it's autumn, it kind of dries down, and it creates those water puddles, you know. And inside, I see fish. So one day I decided to actually pull it all out. So I grabbed two buckets. I was probably 8 or 9, and picked one of those. And I started, you know, pour the water out of it. It took me 4 hours. Yeah. But at the end, I grabbed like almost 2 full basket of fish and went home with it. I was extremely hungry, but at the same time, extremely satisfied. I haven't eaten anything yet, but just thinking of having this food, yes, and I ate the fish whole week, and that was good. Just somehow the lesson I learned from that is, in a way, when I need really something, sometimes it's better that I find a way to get it by myself than try to ask and be miserable. So afterward, I would find the food by myself. Well, sometimes, you know, winter times, I would actually go into my friend's house and kitchen and steal some food. It's kind of like steal, not steal, because I tell his parents too anyway. But they understand. Yet, this story kind of continues until I was probably 12, 13, and I thought what I needed was food, because I felt I always need more, you know, more. So I thought that it was all connected to my stomach. So I was looking for food. Then it happened that when I had enough food, I still felt hungry. Then I realized maybe I need more than just food. Maybe I'm hungry for something else. So next was actually people, friends. So it happened to be I was 13 and 14 when I realized that. So I started to hang out with friends. It was wonderful. Like I had groups of middle school friends and high school friends. And then I entered college. It happens that I had to leave my hometown to go to college. college was far away. Then I came back after 6 months later. I don't have any friends anymore. They had moved on to their life, and I have somehow, I am stranger to most of them. Not all of them. And it kind of dawned on to me that, so hold on, I can't really depend my happiness, my joy on friends either. It was delightful to have them. It was an amazing experience. You know, like we create like bond of four, bond of five. We literally hang out every weekend. We go to the fishing and hiking. We did basically everything together. That was great. But that was great for that moment. And time passes, things change. So I needed something that's more subtle, something that's more kind of constant, something that changes less. And after all, my friends, I couldn't blame them because they have their own life, right? And they need to pursue whatever way that they want to go. And a few friends stayed together, but was not exactly the same somehow. You know, I mean, you're all there, right? Like your middle school, high school friends hanging out together. That's amazing time. You feel like you're untouchable and you can have all the fun in the world. It was like that. But then, after a few years later, all that we did kind of seemed silly. And some friends still staying there, I couldn't join them. And some friends moved too far. And so this hunger thing was still there. So it was not exactly food that would just, you know, kind of fulfill it. It was not kind of this temporary, momentary experience with my friends that would satisfy. Joyful, there was a joy. There was a joy. It's all real somehow. It was delightful. Yet, this moment passes. They change, and actually, I change. And something else was needed. So, this moment, I'd like to pause here and just let you have your own reflection up to your early childhood to maybe early 20s. What was your driving joy? And you had it. And what changed it? And just have a reflection upon it. I wish we have like half a day so we can have a workshop of stage by stage. That could be a wonderful thing. Kind of journeying back to your own life and your own experiences and feelings and what you have enjoyed, what have delighted you. Human being is somehow different, right? We're all different. And to a degree we could say nothing's fair on earth. Even the way you're born, did you really choose the way exactly how you are, you know, to be born like that? Even Grace was saying you should be happy with the way how you look, your face look. Mm-hmm. Two things probably is very fair about humans is that, one, we're all born naked and ignorant. And two, we all die. The rest may not be fair. So, in this journey, I often look back my childhood, not because I try to see how much suffering I had. I don't really see it that way either. But there are certain marks that was made in me that is almost permanent. And sometimes those seem to be kind of driving force for me. Sometimes I have this desire or hunger for certain things without really knowing why. And often I find the reasons in my childhood. Things that I didn't have, things that I couldn't have, or things that I wished to have, or I imagined that having that would solve my life. So one side of driving force in my early childhood was hunger, yes. But what I noticed when I started meditation with actually Taoism in my 18, 19, 20, 21, these 4 years, was that I had something that was very constant, pleasant, delightful all around me when I was young. That was nature. That I was one of those childs that will talk to a tree and I'll talk to a wind and I will talk to the stream and I'll hang out with the rock all day and talking to it. And that was my playground. This little mountain and a few streams, and yeah, I used to chase after rabbits and squirrels. I never caught one. They were too smart. But chase after them, thinking they're playing with me. And those memories and those experiences and the delight that associate with that gave me a different foundation. And later, in my probably 18, 19 years, when I was engaging into deeper meditation, I kind of had to me, because I felt there's deep desire in me that is driving me crazy. I need something. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. But it's not the food. It's not about human relationship. I somehow, there was, the other side was definitely anger that was also burning. But deeper inside of anger was need. Need to find something. And the one solution or answer I received was from actually Buddhistic, Taoistic meditation I did upon the nice stream or nearby the stream that was in my college. And it was interesting and amazing experience. I used to go there and sit on this rock and meditate, and people, actually my friends thought I'm weird or different. One day, I was just meditating as usual and felt somehow that me and the rock and the wind passing by are not separate items. We are somehow all together, one. And that perspective changed everything into the way how I was looking at my life. And suddenly, all my anger and neediness, desires seemed so small. It's just amazing experience, though. Like, before, this anger was this huge. It could not be bigger than that. Now it's just small, tiny little thing. And all my desires and neediness just suddenly became like, I could just put that in a small little pocket. And it may almost even disappear. And then I realized one thing, very simple truth, clear. I was asking for me much, much more than willing to give. Matter of fact, probably I wasn't giving any, because I was too busy to ask for my need. I need this, I need that. And also busy about being angry at why I didn't have it. It's my parents. No, it's my brother. It's my grandparents. It's the city. It's Korea. It's the earth. It's a humanity's problem. You know, somehow blaming everything else and putting the causes to everybody else, and I became total, perfect, justified victim. Therefore, I deserve to get everything. That was me, I found on that day. And just looking at it somehow made me able to shift it. And when everything was shifted into the other way, I felt a subtle joy. This joy was not like dancing kind of joy. It was not like exciting joy. It's very calm, peaceful, just subtle. But it's a joy because it's delightful, just pleasant. That's probably my deciding moment on which path I want to go. And to be truthful, that moment only lasted about 5 minutes. Okay, just 5 minutes. And I went back to my troublesome 21 year again, and I struggled all that things all over again. I wasn't enlightened by that moment and became a different thing. No, I just had like taste of it for 5 minutes. But that was good enough to make the decision to move forward. And probably 9 years later, when I was about to be ordained, probably 30, I was able to extend that 5 minute to half an hour. And then 16 years later now, that's a little more than that. So to a degree, I thought, that's it, right? That's it. Like, I got my anchor. That's the subtle, that's the substance. I can settle my life with that. That's why I told my mother that, Mom, don't even think about I'll get married, okay? I'm going to be single, and don't ask me why. That's funny. I thought that was it. And God had a different plan. So, right? After 4 years, 3 years in my ministry, I had a vision, and God was pointing out that, Junchul, there's something wrong with your life. And I was like, what is that? And I'm counseling this couple. I was doing many weddings in Cleveland. And, you know, before the marriage, that weddings, that I tell them the importance of the marriage, the value of the marriage, how significant it is. All that, all the good things about marriage, while I'm saying to myself, I don't believe in marriage. So, yes, there's something wrong about it. And I had dreams seeing a woman dating in my dream, right? Then I met Hee Jung. We had a miraculous story how we met. That's for some other time. But marrying and now have one child and another child, that's something else. Life is amazing in that context. And I learned a whole new chapter of what joy means after marriage and having two children. Kind of, that's why I'm not Buddhist. You know, Buddha went the other way. He was married with having a child, and he left home and be enlightened. I kind of had my taste of it. Then I went backward. I got married and have children. So joy, to me, it is not absence of struggles and problems. To be peaceful is not about eliminating any possible danger or any source of pain. Then that so that you have peace. It is, in a way, your power to transcend what struggles you, what binds you, and see them as a small because you transcended it. And lift yourself higher so that you actually see you're free from them. They are binding you, they are trapping you, but you're not really bound by it. It is our perception that I am bound by it. And to me, with all due, you know, honest and respect, I don't see my marriage and children as any burden. Anything I do for my children, that's not a burden at all. I actually made my life different so that, you know, I cut out all my hobbies when my son was born so that I can be fully there for him. So my hobby is actually watching them playing or playing with them. And I now bowl because they're saying, you got to have your own thing somehow. So I joined bowling league like 2 years ago. But it's somehow burden. It's not burden, but it's a responsibility. Kind of, in a way, it is burdening. There's a difference between it's a burden and it's burdening. It's heavy, right? It's a responsibility. You look after life and look after humans. You're responsible for nurturing, growing. Awesome thing, though. Yet, should they be the sources of my joy? And answer is no. They don't need to be the sources of my joy. They are independent human beings sharing life with me. And the sources of joy, my joy, is right here. By doing something with them, it is generated. So that's the last thing I learned. I'm learning still, actually. Of course, you know, there are sources of my joy in another hand. Yes, I can't stop smiling at when my daughter's doing something. She, my wife often makes, you know, like ask, so you like, you love her that much? Or put her in your eye. Or why don't you carry her in your pocket? Yes, but my temptation, my resistance is I don't want to make them to be the sources of my joy. Do you understand that? There's a difference. I want them to be free. Also, I want me to be free. So this subtle, constant, unshakable joy, the source, the fountain is in you. And in Swedenborgian, it's in you because you are connected to God. And there's higher being that is kind of guaranteeing that. So we human beings try, and search for something that is more subtle, something deeper, something that is unchangeable, unshakable. And that's why we reach to the religion in a context. We could say it's all mental game, that I'm fooling myself, that I just created in my mind that I'm happy, or these are all my mental distinction. But the truth is, as you open yourself in that, as you free yourself, as you detach, you will experience your God in a different way. And somehow, this amazing inner joy flows into you. And amazing thing about that is, you haven't made it. You haven't created it. I can still feel that those moments, even like when I was really young, 5, 6. First time I found this stream. And first time I saw this freshwater lobster. And I was poking its tail, wondering what it is. And the sensation and this joy and wind passing by me, the sound of the stream and the clear water. It's like crystal clear, but also I can even, you know, feel that all within me. And to me, those are gifts. And you all have that in this joyful moment. So I'm not saying that we have some joys are updated and outdated. No. All the joyful moments to a degree, that's all you have. That's all we have. And within that is the moment we were truly alive and truly connected to the deeper being we call God. So may you find the joy in this season, and may you be willing to share this joy with your friends and family. And one step more, may you be open to feel the joy of another as your joy. Amen.